Hello, I'm Jan van der Maat, and this is the International Report. Today we explore the rising influence of the extreme right in both Europe and the United States. Across the continent, far-right parties are gaining ground, challenging traditional political frameworks and pushing against barriers that once kept them out of power. In Europe, far-right parties dominate politics in Hungary, Italy, Finland, Sweden, the Netherlands and Serbia. I spoke to Dr. Nafis Ahmed, author of the book Alt-Reich, about how it's possible that after many decades where the Second World War Nazi atrocities were revealed and vilified, the extreme right is again becoming popular in Europe.
There were many Nazi sympathizer groups in both America and Europe. But after the Second World War, with the comprehensive defeat of the Nazis and the emergence of a post-war architecture, it was not fashionable anymore to identify as a Nazi. So really, a lot of these movements went underground, and they tactically attempted to reframe themselves. So you had a situation where Nazi organizations and white supremacist groups began to masquerade as if they were against Nazis. And this really became a defining tactic of the post-war era.
How did these groups manage to rebrand themselves without losing their core ideologies, and what impact did this have on public perception?
But this is really a tactical shift, and we find that many of the groups who have done this have a history of support for Nazism, and to this day continue to flirt with pro-Nazi organizations and to use language and ideas which are fundamentally very divisive, and to promote ideas which are not just against migrants or Muslim groups or black communities, but also would have an impact on Jewish communities as well.
How did Marine Le Pen's National Rally manage to rebrand itself in recent years, and what role did this play in its electoral success?
Marine Le Pen is the head of a party which did have historical roots in Nazis. We know for a fact that what is now known as the National Rally, what previously known as the National Front, was a Holocaust-denying anti-Semitic party, which was actually historically very sympathetic to the Nazis, and there is even some evidence of collaboration with the Nazis historically. So that was a very hardcore route. And we've seen that only in recent years there has been this shift, where Marine Le Pen's father is known as a repeated Holocaust denier, has made multiple anti-Semitic statements, but it was very clear at that time that it was that very open support for Nazi ideology was simply not popular in France. It was seen as problematic, and it prevented this party from gaining ground in the votes. So I think we can see that Marine Le Pen led a very deliberate drive to tactically move away from what was understood to be a losing approach.
Now, moving to the United States and this notorious Project 2025, which is a guidebook that is now used by the Trump administration. It was published by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, years ago. This Project 2025 has clear right-wing elements, such as removing legal protection against anti-LGBTQ discrimination, for instance. You see that it's being put into practice as we speak on a daily basis. Everything that's happening now was already put in print long before. Why were these signs not taken more seriously?
I think we've all been somewhat caught off guard. And I think the reason that the signs have not entirely been seen is because there has been a lack of understanding of this exact dynamic of how hardcore pro-Nazi organizations and white supremacist groups who are very sympathetic to core Nazi ideology deliberately attempted to reframe. And one of the key organizations in my book, which I tell their story, and is the Pioneer Fund, which was a Nazi foundation set up in the 1930s within New York in America, but it had very close ties to eugenicists in Nazi Germany. Now, what people don't realize is how this organization attempted to infiltrate and subvert mainstream parties from the very beginning. So they established very close ties to the Republican Party at that time. As I mentioned, they mobilized on an anti-civil rights front. They also attempted to move into various think tanks. Several Pioneer Fund members were recruited into the Heritage Foundation. They also then began to repackage their ideas. And I think one of the inflection points here was the work of a figure called Charles Murray, an American social scientist who wrote a book called The Bell Curve, which is known really as the Bible of scientific racism. It basically says that black people are stupider than white people. They have lower IQ than white people for genetic, largely genetic reasons. And there's nothing anyone can ever do about it. But he based all of his research on work that was funded by the Nazi Pioneer Fund. But he carefully removed the origins of that research from public visibility by writing his book and repackaging it and making it legitimate. But he went on to influence many other conservative foundations across the UK and Europe, as well as the United States, and to influence even free market ideology. And you found that even mainstream free market think tanks began to be sympathetic to some of these ideas because they thought, well, this was a biological basis for why we shouldn't have a welfare state. We shouldn't spend on these minorities because they're actually inferior. So that was a movement that was taking place over many years, but it was happening largely undetected precisely because they were using these tactics of concealing some of their most virulent ideas and focusing on the end point, which was eliminate the welfare state. We have these inequalities being entrenched and to do with in-group differences, and trying to justify this idea that differences between groups was due to inherent biological differences, and just removing the specter of Nazism from that equation and saying, well, this is just science that people don't want to accept. And that is something that I think I've traced it into a wide number of groups, including, you know, the Republican Party, the Conservative Party in the UK, numerous parties across Europe. And there has been a deliberate strategy really to launder that ideology into the mainstream without having people subject it to serious scrutiny.
And that was Dr. Nafees Ahmed, author of the book Alter Reich. And from me, Jan van der Maade, goodbye.